good afternoon, and welcome to Pizza Ranch in Maryville on the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. We have another good show on hand. We'll be primarily talking about spring sports coming up with the track and field teams in action. Tennis has had a busy couple weeks. Also, softball is having a busy time of it as well. And we're back from a little bit of basketball as well over the past weekend.
Yeah, that's right. It's kind of weird to be diving almost fully into the spring sports season with winter sports carrying on as long as it did. Of course, the indoor track and field championships bled right into the outdoor season, which we've got going on now. And, of course, Northwest Missouri State men's basketball, another deep, deep run into a national championship. So it's been a lot of fun watching that. And now it does kind of shift toward hopefully the weather starts to warm up and stay consistent in that way, and looking forward to seeing what these teams can do down the stretch. Baseball coming off a really good series against Northeastern State, and softball, I mean, they're still pushing. They're still doing some good things. The record doesn't reflect what they'd like, but you still know this is a team that the young coach that's building things in the right direction, so it's going to be fun to watch. And, of course, you mentioned Coach Rosewell and that tennis program. Consistently ranked, consistently really good athletes, good student athletes on that side, and so looking forward to see what they can carry, as well as, you know, Northwest Missouri Golf has also got off to a good start this spring, and now getting set for their next tournament coming up next week in Newton, Kansas, the Newman Invitational. So it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sure really should be. And of course, the spring sports have some big shoes to fill after a very successful fall season, and then the winter season, of course, ending up with a national championship for the Bearcat men's basketball team. But seeing a lot of good things out of the spring teams as well.
Yeah, and you know, that was one heck of a run too, wasn't it? That was a lot of fun to be back in Evansville, Indiana, seeing Northwest Missouri State men's basketball push through and pull away another championship there, 3-0, the first time ever in Division II history. So just a lot of fun to be able to cover that team, those players, and that coaching staff, and see them do that once again, and really pulling off the improbable of coming back without Orion Hawkins on that team to be able to battle what they've gone through. Diego Bernard was playing injured in that championship game, the foul trouble they got into, but still found a way to pull that one out. So another tremendous season. Trevor Hudgens also just lights out once again in that championship.
Oh my goodness, that first half he just put the team on his shoulders and willed them to get back into the ball game when they were down by 7 early. They ended up with that nice little 27-10 run to end the first half, and had a little bit of a challenge there in the second half with Augusta, but they were able to make the plays and pick up that win. And not only what Trevor did, but the bench really stepped up really all season long, but in particular that championship game where they were really called on to get some meaningful minutes, and they really met the challenge.
You know, I think Byron Alexander and Daniel Abreu probably combined for maybe 8 minutes the entire NCAA tournament leading into that national championship game. Then they both stepped up and played huge minutes defensively. Daniel had to be matched up with a 7-foot-1 man inside, and it's a tough matchup, but really did a good job of slowing him down, took him out of his rhythm. Tyshawn Crawford for Augusta had 9 points in the first 5-plus minutes. Didn't score again until 18 minutes left in the ball game, so he was really shut down for about a 16-17 minute period of that basketball game that Northwest was able to open up that lead. Of course, like you mentioned, they did make a push to get back in it, but you know, Byron played good defense. Mitch Mascari had some really key buckets as that postseason went along, and of course Isaiah Jackson was into the starting lineup and also had some games where he came off the bench throughout this year too, but just a young key contributor that, you know what, whatever the role is, whatever needs to be filled, he's willing to step up and do that. So that's what makes this team so great, is the lack of egos on it, and they all really gelled and of course came together to pull it, win another title.
You know, one thing too that I think stands out about the coaching staff and what they do to make sure that their players are ready to go when they're called upon. I think it was determined to Friday that they were going to need a lot of minutes out of Daniel Abreu and also Byron Alexander, and they felt like Daniel really hadn't had a lot of time on the floor in reps and things going into that. So they found a high school gym Friday night. Dre Starzl was talking to us on our post game Saturday, and a little one-on-one action with Dre just in the high school, just shooting and playing and things, and getting him ready for what proved to be very meaningful minutes out of Daniel on Saturday. And I think that was one of the things that paid off in Saturday's game.
You know, it's a very dedicated coaching staff, top to bottom, from Coach McCollum to Zach Schneider to Dre Starzl, as you mentioned, Xavier Kurth, Jaron Richmond, even the managers, Sam Hawley, Landon Graver, throw those guys out there too, of whatever it takes to get the wins, whatever it takes to make these guys comfortable and put them in the right setting to win. And a lot of that is Coach McCollum sitting there watching hours and hours and hours of game tape, and I doubt he slept really at all from the semifinal to the championship game. But, you know, then even Dre and others going out with Daniel to a high school gym and just to get him some reps, because really – Abreu hadn't played since probably the MIAA tournament, as he went through and battled some illness up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota during the regional. Then, you know, Mitch Mascari just kind of ate up a lot of minutes throughout that Elite Eight as well. So Daniel, when he did get that the opportunity, really made the most of it. So the players stepped up and the dedication of what was necessary to be done, but they're kind of put in that winning role by the coaches and what they do.
Yeah, to where they put them in roles that they're expected to be successful with, and they don't ask them to do things that they're not capable of doing, and I think that's what we saw on Saturday with those two guys.
Yeah, those guys, and I mean, even up to Trevor Hudgens, the National Player of the Year, to where Trevor is one that doesn't push too much or go too heavy on one end of things. If he has to come out and score, he will. 22 points in the first half, but if he needs to be a distributor, if he needs to be just a different role, he's willing to step into that, and absolutely no ego with that kid.
And how special has it been for 4 years to watch Trevor and Diego play together in the backcourt, and you look at what they ended up with, going undefeated in NCAA tournament play with those two as the Bearcat guards. That's just something special that may never be seen again.
Just unheard of, yeah. Coach Mack kind of said the same thing in his postgame, that he's like, will you ever see anything like this again? It's doubtful, just the way that those two came together. Best friends off the court, they gel so well on the court, and, you know, kind of the thunder and lightning. Diego a little bit more vocal on the floor, and Trevor a little bit quieter, kind of plays within himself, but he'll step up and coach his teammates when necessary. But a lot of fun to watch those guys, and it's going to be tough to replicate that. You won't be able to replicate that, but still just great leaders for these young guys to kind of play off of moving forward.
Again, a national championship for the Bearcat men's basketball team. And while they were busy this weekend, the Bearcat baseball team home with Northeastern State won the first couple of games of that series, but couldn't get the sweep with a 15-inning tough loss yesterday at Bearcat Field.
Yeah, tough to see that one in that way, but overall, Coach Lowe has to be really pleased with the pitching that he's seen. Even Alex Slocum, who took the no decision yesterday, worked his way through seven innings of, what, two-hit ball, gave up one run before Northeastern was able to get a couple runs on the bullpen and push that one into extra innings, as you mentioned. But it's a team that's putting things together. Again, pitching defensively against a very good hitting team in Northeastern State, so you just hope that's something that kind of continues to compound as we head a little bit deeper into April and close to the postseason.
I'm sure the last thing he wanted yesterday was a 15-inning game. When you turn around, you're playing again today at home. You've got Washburn on the schedule this afternoon, so not ideal for setting up a pitching staff for today's game.
This is the day that the hitters got to come alive.
That's right.
And
that's
the wind
right.
is blowing out there. Got to go out there and see if it's blowing out or blowing in. That'll play a bit of a factor. We might see a 22-20 game today.
All right. Again, that's at Bearcat Field this afternoon, Bearcat Baseball with Washburn. We've got a lot coming up on the KXCV, KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show, and we'll have more for you right after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from the Clarinda Regional Health Center, offering a walk-in clinic weekdays from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and 8 a.m. to noon each Saturday. Appointments can be requested online, and 24-hour call-in scheduling is available. More information at clarindahealth.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911. We're in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe, talking Northwest Missouri State softball. Now we have Naomi Tejas, head coach, as well as J.C. Wynn joining us. Appreciate you two coming on. It's been a while since we've seen each other between the road trips and being gone for basketball and whatnot. It's been a while. How are things?
They're going. They're going. You know, we're in the heart of season. It's the grind part of the whole thing. We are definitely starting to make strides in other places and still trying to figure some things out.
And it's a long season, and you're getting a feel for first-year head coach and players getting a feel for you, and there's a lot that goes into that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those of you can't really think about the results necessarily, even though obviously that's the end game.
Yep.
We're going to slowly work our way toward it and get there.
Absolutely. And I think it's hard because we're all competitors and we don't like losing. And I, you know, was talking to some girls on the bus ride home. It's like, we're not going to remember the wins and the losses. We're going to remember the memories along the way. We're going to remember the foundation that we're able to build this season and move on from there.
JC, you're a leader on this team. Is this one that, I'm sure it's not easy, but you find a way to kind of filter it out and say, hey, we just got to kind of keep pushing forward and know the results will come?
Yeah, I think we definitely are kind of thinking big picture. Like Coach said, it's not fun to lose, obviously, but we still have a lot of games left, and, you know, we have a lot of girls coming back next year, not to skip to next year, but, you know, this is our first year kind of together as a group. So big picture, within the next 5-10 years, you know, things will be so different, and I think that's what we're kind of working towards.
And that's part of that leadership role, too, of I want to win now, but you also want to set this program up to be great down the line.
Yeah,
and you're setting that up. That's not easy, but that's kind of the ultimate goal right now as you kind of continue to go. Coach, is this one where you're like, you know what? March is over. I know we're still in March.
Yep.
And next game's not coming until April 1st. You're okay, we're going to put that behind us and look forward in the calendar.
Yeah, absolutely. And even today, you know, we're going out to practice and we're going to go back to the basics, you know, and we're at the part of the season where, again, it's a grind. And so we're going to get a lot of work done in a short amount of time and hope, you know, that kind of changing that momentum a little bit will help us in the long run. And hopefully, you know, finish out this season strong and still build on the little things.
So different sports, different coaches try to, like, break a season down and have different checkpoints
mm-hmm.
along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do it by doubleheader, by week, by month? How do you view the season?
So what I kind of told them was at the start of the season is there's three phases. You know, they have the preseason, everything leading up till conference, and then we have conference, and that's the gut of our season. That's what we really need to be strong at. And then obviously that third phase is the postseason, the conference tournament that we want to get into. Having said that, coming out, you know, conference hasn't really gone our way to start, but the worst that can happen, you know, is that we keep fighting and fighting and fighting, and hopefully something good happens. And, you know, obviously our goal was to get into the conference tournament, still is to get there. Whether it falls in our favor or not, I don't know, but I think that we can still build upon it and hopefully just keep chipping away.
Well, and you said it's a long season.
Yep.
We were talking before we went on. Still 20 games
absolutely,
left.
Absolutely, yeah.
A lot against teams that are kind of right ahead of you. The top eight make it
yep.
in.
Yep.
I mean, plenty of time to go ahead and make
yeah,
some hay.
Yeah, for sure. And we just have to keep chipping away weekend by weekend. And, you know, April, a good chunk of April will be home, which will be outstanding. You know, sleep in our own bed, not have to worry about travel. And I think we definitely play better, you know, at home. So.
And that'll be huge, too, when you look at it, too, JC. Of course, Maryville weather's insane, and we might have snow 2 weeks
yeah.
down the line.
Yeah, you never know.
But sleeping in your own bed, kind of knowing the terrain, where you're at, knowing that wind's going to be blowing out for you a few days, and just kind of find some momentum in there.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think we're definitely excited for the month of April. We have a lot of big games coming up, too, that I know a lot of us upperclassmen especially are excited to compete in. You know, Missouri Western's coming to us. We have UCM, teams like that. So getting to play them here will definitely be a big advantage for us, too.
Feels like softball, too. It's an easy sport that once you get hot, you can stay hot.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm.
You get a little bit cold, it's easy to stay cold, too.
Yeah.
How do you approach that as a player of each day, each practice, each game? We're not trying to think about that big picture. We're taking that small bites.
Yeah, just kind of grinding it out every day. You kind of create your own luck, I think, too, towards the end of the year. And, you know, going out every day and working hard and just kind of figuring out, going and fighting against teams that we can beat. Good things will happen, I think. So, yeah, hopefully we kind of all catch a hot streak at the same time and, you know, win some games down the stretch. So.
And Coach JC, one of the players on your team that's stepping up, playing mm-hmm. well. She's hitting mm-hmm. the ball. She's batting over 300. It has to be nice going through turbulent times to have someone like that you can lean on and even say, you know, hey, as a player, a leader, I can bounce some ideas off and get a feel
absolutely.
For the team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even it's just, you know, having those people in the lineup that are consistent. That's really helpful. And knowing that, okay, like she goes up to the plate and you're going to get a quality at bat, whatever it is, with her, it does help. And it's just, okay, we're doing things right here, you know, and hopefully then we can get more people to be consistent and help out, you know, in the lineup and produce for us.
Are you seeing a good 1-2 punch, Skylar and
yeah,
JC?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Skylar, we kind of just threw her in there, and she's taken and ran with it. And, you know, she's definitely somebody that's really hard on herself. And so big picture for her is huge.
Yeah.
JC, what's the discussion like, too, with Skylar and even your own approach as you get to the plate of maybe early in the game it's get on base and create RBI opportunities for others. But then once the lineup turns over one time, you're not necessarily the second batter in the lineup or even leading off for Skylar. It's more of, all right, now I'm a cleanup hitter or now I'm in the RBI situation.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think Skylar does a really good job of just going up there and giving her best effort every single time, no matter what the outcome is, which you can always expect from her. And that's why she does have a lot of success, whether she's hitting leadoff or, you know, she comes up in a big RBI opportunity. So we just try and keep our approach very similar, I think, and kind of situational, and just try and do what's best in the moment for the team, whether it's bunting, whether it's just getting on base. Skylar gets hit by pitches all the time. You know, like, it doesn't really matter what the scenario may be, but just kind of being consistent and the fact that we can get on base and make something happen.
You know, we've seen those games where runs have come in bunches, and trying to find that balance, too, of scoring some runs and finding the run prevention at
Absolutely.
The same time.
Yes. Absolutely.
At times, pitching's been plagued by some walks, too.
Yep.
But you're also playing some really good MIAA teams that can hit the ball very well. How much of it, too, is just bad luck? A ball just finding the grass and not necessarily hit very hard. It just happens.
Yeah. And, I mean, even down at UCO, we had an inning of just constant little numbers finding gaps. And it's, you know, as frustrating as it is, you know, I've told the pitching staff, we just have to take it one pitch at a time. And if we give our best effort and we execute to the best of our ability, nothing else matters. And, you know, keeping the staff just focused on that. And, you know, Breck used to throwing the majority of the innings, and Hayden, you know, is coming around, Raven's coming around, so is Christina. But it's relying on those other arms to help us out. And it's a process, and it's not going to happen overnight, but hopefully it will help us in the future.
Talking Northwest Missouri State softball here on the Bearcat Coaches Show. The Bearcats will be at Emporia State and at Washburn here coming up on Friday and Saturday. Coach, Emporia State, a doubleheader there, a 3 and 5 o'clock start. It's a team going into it that has had moments of playing very well. They're 500 on the season, but they also had a 5-game losing streak and a 3-game losing streak in March. So it's kind of, they've been hot and cold too.
Absolutely.
Just wanting to kind of jump on them.
Yeah. And I mean, going into it, when we prep for the week, it's, you know, it's usually like we got to go and compete and we have to give our best effort. And, you know, I'm okay with, I don't love losing, but if we go out there and we've done everything to the best of our ability, whatever happens, happens. And I think that kind of is going to be, you know, our focus going into the week is doing everything to the best of our ability. And hopefully, you know, we'll get a W in the end.
So I hate to go in and do the comparisons and try to mix sports, but at the same time, as we look over the years of Northwest athletics and the success from some programs, it kind of starts with some lean years.
And
there's some difficulty. Even talking about Coach McCollum winning a championship, but he's extremely hard on himself how those first 2 years went. Do you have those discussions with some of those other coaches around and just kind of get their take?
Yeah, it's been I can say nothing but great things. It's a great support system. You know, Coach Gordon in soccer, Coach Meyer in women's basketball, and even Coach Churchmill walks in Hughes, and he put his arm around me the other day, and he said, Coach, we're 0-11 my first year. I said, great. Makes me feel a lot better. You know, but it's a grind, and they say, you know, you're turning this thing around, and that's what it's really here for. So, I mean, everybody has been nothing but supportive, and like, you got it. Like, just keep chugging along. So that's been fun.
And one thing you can always look to as, also as we get deeper into April, just to take your mind off things, you could see your Dodgers go win the West again,
right? Joy.
JC, are you Royals?
Absolutely, yes.
It's unfortunate. Hope you'd say Cardinals. Well, those are getting rolling, but first we have Northwest softball. That's coming up this week in Emporia State and Washburn. Coach JC, thanks for the time and good luck.
Thank you.
Naomi Taya is Northwest Missouri State head softball coach, and JC Wynn joining us. We'll take a time out. Back with more on the Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell on South Main in Maryville, celebrating 30 years of service. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell offers a wide selection of features, including unlimited plans. For more details on plans and devices, nwmcell.com.
Support for the Bearcats on radio comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville at 125 East South Avenue. Rogers provides patients and their families with medical supplies, including oxygen, CPAP, scooters, and home medical equipment. More online at RogersRx.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitzenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitzenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or facebook.com/pittsbodyshop.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, serving residents and employees in Nottoway, Andrew, Atchison, Holt, and Worth counties, Northwest alumni, and 19 school districts across the area. Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, today, tomorrow, together.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. As we turn our attention to track and field, as the head coach of the Bearcat track and field program, Brandon Masters, is with us, along with an excellent javelin thrower, and Dakota Schmidt, with us here on the show here today. And first of all, Coach, coming off a pretty good weekend this past weekend over in Emporia with some pretty good performances there.
Yeah, it was nice. We had an opportunity to do a lot of different events. It's the Emporia Relays, and so there are a lot of different relay competitions that we don't get to see. So it's not a meet that we go down and maybe do our primary events. We go down and do an event or two and several relays. And so we got a chance to win a few of those relays, and we like that because the kids do. They get batons when they win, so that's exciting. But they actually score the meet as well, and we did pretty well. We didn't try to, like, win or anything, but just kind of get kids in events that they could have some fun and kind of open this outdoor season. For many of my kids, it was our first meet of the season, so it was nice to kind of stretch your legs and try this outdoor thing.
And I imagine for those, they've just been priming to get out there and compete after so long a time through the off season of working out and trying to make sure that they're ready to go for this time of year, that it's probably just nice that they get out and a chance to face some actual competition.
Right, so a lot of the kids for outdoor track, they've been done since indoor conference, so it's quite a few weeks of not competing, and so they're ready to get out there. For some of our kids, it's a chance to compete for the first time this year. We don't do javelin indoors, although Dakota Dakota would love to see a cork board on the wall and use maybe to throw against it. But
don't they call that darts?
Right, yeah, big darts. But Dakota and the jav kids and some of the outdoor kids got to go last weekend to Emporia. It's a meet that we don't normally go to because it's normally pretty poor weather. We got great weather, and then we went back again to Emporia this weekend with our whole team, and only a few people didn't go this weekend due to injury or something. So Dakota got a chance to go throw again, and 2 weeks in a row he threw some bombs down on Emporia and is on the national list and put himself in contention to even make a national meet already this early outdoor season.
Dakota, does that take a little bit of pressure off of you at this particular point of the year to know that you've got a provisional mark already? I think what you hit 200 feet, 11 inches last week. How do you go about that now that you've kind of hit that mark? Obviously, you want to continue to do better, but do you feel good about that you've already hit that provisional mark here?
I do. It's nice to have that mark already there and know, what I can work on, stuff like that, because, I mean, Coach Schluter does a great job with us, and now we just, reprime. We're in a heavy lifting cycle right now, which is nice to be able to compete through that and see what we can do there, because once we get ready to prime for conference and kind of take the load off and focus on, fine-tuning and technique and things like that, it'll be a lot better and grow in that aspect.
As far as getting involved with the javelin, how did you first decide that that's an event you wanted to take part in?
So Missouri adopted it my sophomore year of high school, and then midway through my junior year of high school, our coach was like, hey, you used to play baseball, why don't you try this? And I picked it up, and wasn't too bad, didn't have great technique, but then I kind of just fell in love with it. I was like, it's a new challenge for me, and it's something I wanted to keep doing because I had opportunities to do other sports out of high school, but I was like, I think this is something I would really enjoy doing.
Of course, high school at Platte County High School in Platte City, Missouri. Missouri coming out of a very successful athletic program there at Platte County.
Yeah, our coaches in high school were great for all sports, football, wrestling, and track were the three I did, and they pushed us each and every day. And I thank my parents, too, because they pushed me in athletics, but they more so pushed me being a great person in the classroom. I think that's really helped me like feel like I can do sports in college and be successful.
And, Brandon, when you have an athlete like Dakota come through the program, just talk about what he brings to the entire program here.
Well, the biggest thing, I think, is leadership. You know, he's very studious. He's a student of track and field. Not only that, he's a brilliant in the classroom. I mean, he's a 4.0 guy. He's awesome in the classroom. We love that. But, you know, the biggest thing, he's a technical guy, you know. And so if, you know, Coach Luter can't be there for some reason or whatever, I have no doubt that, you know, Dakota will have the all the javelin guys and gals doing the right stuff. And we actually talked about it. You know, there'll be meets when we have to do a split squad or something, and Dakota go to, you know, a meet where maybe he doesn't have, you know, Derek there to help coach him. And so, but, you know, with a video, and he can analyze himself. And if he's looking for me to help him, I may be able to throw a couple of tidbits, but that's really light on the javelin side. So I won't be able to help him as much. But he's such a student of the game that he'll understand watching the video exactly what he needs to do. Probably before he finishes the throw, he'll know what he already did wrong. So that's the nice thing about Dakota is the biggest problem with Dakota is you got to hold him back sometimes. And that, and that is he goes too big all the time. So we got to hold him back a little bit and make sure he's doing the right stuff to make sure we have him at the end of the year. Because, you know, he has had a couple of injuries in the past, normally because he's went too hard too long. So,
and Dakota, what are some of the keys to not only making sure that you're peaking at the end of the season when you want to, but when you go into a meet, to be sure that you're peaking on that Friday or that Saturday to go through a week to prepare and make sure you're ready for the meet?
I think the big thing for me is like the mental side of it, because I mean, the first meet, it's always like first meet jitters, but now it's kind of like, okay, we want to keep building each and every week, make small improvements every week so that we can peak at the right time for conference and hopefully nationals. So for me, one thing that I do is get all my schoolwork done early in the week. I try to get it all done. So like by Wednesday, Thursday, it's like, okay, the only thing we have to focus on is track. We can hang out with teammates and stuff like that and actually kind of like enjoy the college experience after practice and just relax and do fun things like that. One thing we like to do is go bowling. And that's just something that takes our mind off of it. Takes our mind off of track, and then I can reset and be ready for the weekend.
You know, and that's something that I think, regardless of what the sport is, that perhaps is overlooked with college athletes is the time management aspect of trying to balance the work in the classroom and the work on the field and what's you need for practice and the time away for the events as well, Brandon. I would imagine that's something you look for in all athletes is just the ability to manage your time maybe better than a general student even.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We've had kids that have had troubles in the classroom, you know, and so time management skills obviously help out a lot, and some that come in kind of like, oh, it's, you know, we're a little nervous about you being able to do collegiate track and field at the same time. I think adding sport and helping them on their time management skills actually helps them. With some of our kids, they decide not to do track and their grades actually go down, even though their time, you know, away from track and field, they have a lot more free time. So I think what we find here at Northwest is we have an unbelievable group of men and women who are dedicated into the classroom as well. And, you know, we've had academic All-American teams every year for all cross-country and track and field men and women since I've been here. And I think that's a testament to the type of kid that chooses Northwest. And it's very important that our academics are solid, and that's why they choose Northwest.
And Dakota, do you find, too, that just having teammates around helps each other as far as making sure that the work gets done in the classroom?
Yeah, I mean, we'll meet and say, hey, we're going to the library tonight, go get some homework done early in the week. And then we actually, like, check on each other throughout the week and like, hey, are you doing all right? It's not like, are you like, it's like quick answer, are you doing good? No, it's more of like, how are you actually doing? Like, do you need some help in some aspect? Do we help each other out in that way? And I think team chemistry and camaraderie has grown a lot since I've been here, and I think it's in a really good spot right now.
As you look at where you're at this moment, competing again, a great performance in Emporia that 200 feet, 11 inch mark that I talked about. Where can you go from here as far as that? How far can you get up here? I know what last year in the Nationals you were at 197.6, mm-hmm. so you've already beat that mark this year.
Yeah. Just like small growth, even if it's a couple feet each week, and then just really fine-tuning technique. I know there's some things, it's being consistent, that Coach Masters talked about. That's one thing me and Coach Schlier talk about all the time, is being consistent through the run-up, the throw, and stuff like that. Hopefully we can get over 65, 66 meters, like 215, maybe 220 feet. That'd be sweet. Hopefully, and try and crack the podium this year after making Nationals last year, not being able to.
You know, I think one of the big things that Dakota has in front of him is the MIAA is very strong in the javelin, and it will always be. I believe you finished, what, seventh in MIAA last year and was 12th in the country. So I think that's the big thing that consistency brings with Dakota. If he can continue to be consistent like he has been thus far, he's going to have an opportunity to move up the podium, because it's about throwing the javelin at the right time. And we get a big mark at MIAA and a big mark at the national championships, then the podium is, we want the hardware, right? The big mm-hmm. the big All-American trophy that comes home with these guys. That's kind of an important deal, and that's top eight.
And I would imagine, too, as you look toward this spring season as well, that weather conditions for the javelin play a huge part all the events in track and field probably have a lot to do with weather, too. But still, I would think javelin's one that's really affected by the weather.
Yeah, wind is one of the big things for us. We like a little bit of a headwind and stuff like that, but too much wind can cause a jab to just die. You can see it sometimes when you throw it. You'll come out of your hand really good, and then you just see it just hit the wind. It just dies. Or a crosswind will blow it to the ground. So getting nice conditions, which we've had good conditions the past 2 weeks, so hopefully it stays that way.
Well, you might look ahead here at what you've got coming up here in the next few weeks. I think you've got Bolivar coming up this week, going at the SBU Invitational, and then out to California for a couple meets out there.
Yeah, it's a small group that goes out to California, and Dakota will be on that list, so he's excited to get out there and throw. The next two meets, Bolivar's really kind of another tune-up early season, get these kids some opportunity to run their major events and not so much volume, and then we'll take a week off and then go Central Missouri and California split group. So that'll be a lot of fun to really kind of that's kind of the meet, the weekend that we really kind of see what we have.
I imagine you go out to California, get out of the region a little bit, and a chance to see what's taking place nationally with a lot of these competitors.
Yeah, I was talking to Dakota earlier. It's really that L.A. meet, Azusa Pacific holds a humongous meet, and then we have Long Beach and Mount Sac. So, and there's a handful of other meets out there at the same time. So he'll get an opportunity to go to several meets and throw two times in a row if we need to. And that's kind of exciting that it is a track mecca. I mean, there's so many heats and flights, and it's such a huge meet. If you love track and field, it is amazing. And the weather is pretty darn nice.
I mean, Dakota, I imagine that's kind of nice just in its own after the springs that you have around the Midwest, or to get out there and experience a little nice weather there.
Yeah, that'll be really exciting. I've never been to California, so that's one thing I'm really excited for. And the nice weather, and you hear all these stories about other people who have went before, like, oh, it's super fun. You get a lot of people tend to do really well out there, so hopefully I can fall in that category.
Well,
as well.
It's an expensive meet. We better do well.
No doubt about that. And one final thing, Dakota. Again, we talked that you're coming from, Platte City. What were some of the reasons that Northwest stood out for you to come and compete here?
The rich athletic history was the main thing for me. I've had a couple of my coaches from high school had played football up here. One was a decathlete up here, and they kind of convinced me. I'd always thought Northwest was a great place, and because we'd come up here and play youth football around here. We played Maryville all the time. And I fell in love with, like, the campus, the atmosphere. I know it's not very big, but I kind of like the small college and a community that, like, supports the students and the athletes all together. That was something that really appealed to me.
And academically, what's your field of study right now?
Applied health science, sports science, stuff like that.
Well, that kind of goes hand in hand with trying to study the sport and get it ready for every week for some competition there.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, guys, thanks a lot for being with us here on the show here today.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Again, Brandon Masters, head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Track and Field Program, and Dakota Schmidt, javelin thrower for Northwest. We'll be back and more right after this timeout from Pizza Ranch.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Lash Optometry in Maryville. Dr. Ryan Lash and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, contacts, and sunglasses. Dr. Lash is also available after hours for emergencies. More information at 660-241-5001.
Support for the Bearcats on radio comes from King City Lumber. Their post frame and all steel buildings can be used as homes, barns, sheds, garages, or commercial buildings. More information about planning, design, and construction is at kingcitylumber.com.
Support comes from the Maryville Forum. For over 150 years, the Forum served the area with local news, sports, and information in print or online at maryvilleforum.com. More at 660-562-2424.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance Agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911 or in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville. And time now to talk tennis, as we're being joined by the head coach of the Bearcat men's and women's tennis teams, Mark Rosewell. And we've got a couple players from his team with us as well. But before we talk to them, Mark, just kind of get an update on where you're at. It looks like a busy weekend this past weekend, and got a win for the women on Sunday, but a tough loss against a Division I team with Wichita State on Saturday.
Yeah, John. Actually played five matches, so we're right in the middle of it, playing a lot of tennis. We started off Thursday. We played down at St. Joe and played our, you know, arch rival Southwest Baptist. I know they're not in the league anymore or whatever, but everybody knows that we've had some great matches with them over the years back and forth. But we managed very close matches. Both men and women won 4-3. And then the ladies played Fort Hays on Saturday, and they beat them 7-0, so that was the first conference match. And then the guys played Wichita State. They beat us 7-0, but saw some good things there. We were actually missing our one and two players because of injury, but we were tiebreaker with them at four and five singles. Mason was playing one doubles, and they usually play two, and they were four all, so there were some really good things there.
I imagine, too. I know you've never been in the past afraid to play Division I teams and schedule whenever they you can find a team that wants to play you there. And you got one there with a pretty good Wichita State team.
Oh, for sure. You know, they were up to top 40 in Division I a couple years ago. I think they're about 70 now, aren't they, Mason? Somewhere in that.
67, right? Yeah.
Yeah, 67. But you know, our philosophy is that we don't back off anybody, either team. I always say that. Ladies played Notre Dame one year, but the problem is a lot of the smaller Division I's, particularly around this area, I won't mention any names, but they just won't play us. You know, at least Wichita State did play us.
Now, on Sunday, you got a good win against a very good women's team in Nebraska, Kearney.
Yeah, they were ranked 25 in the country, and they've had some. You know, they beat Drury and they beat Harding. And it was, again, just like the Southwest Baptist matches, probably like the Missouri Western match tomorrow. It was close. It actually went down to 3-3. Carroll was the last one on the play, number five singles and for the match. And, of course, it went three sets like they always do. You know? But she beat the girl, I think, 6-2 in the third set, so a tremendous effort. It was great tennis.
Now, as you mentioned, you've got a couple of players with you here, Carolina Lima De La Olivia, I believe. It might go ahead and have you say your name just so we get it right there. I'm probably busted it pretty bad there, but Carolina, it's good to have you with us here.
Carolina.
And then Mason Meyer with us out of Omaha, and you got a couple of players that bring in here that have done very well for you.
Yeah, they're both having good years, and not only are they excellent singles players, but they're pretty good doubles players, too, which always helps.
Oh, no doubt about that. And, Mason, coming from Omaha, I know that you were transferred from the University of Nebraska to also Tennessee before coming back here to Northwest Missouri State. But looking at your junior records in the Missouri Valley, you had to put together a heck of a junior career before coming to Northwest.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was a lot of hard work. But I love tennis. I love training. Love playing the matches, and now to be here at Northwest, I love it. I love it. It's a lot of fun, and the best part of the season's coming up, so we'll be ready for it.
Oh, no doubt about that. What are some of the things that really stuck out that you wanted to come and play for Coach Rosewell?
He's a great person, great coach, manages everything extremely well, and I could really tell he really cared about everyone on the team and, you know, how we're doing on the court and off the court and our academics as well.
And again, looking at some of your results from your junior career, as Mark mentioned, not only a very good singles player, but it looks like doubles was something you really enjoyed growing up.
Yeah, I've always my serve and return is kind of my strengths, my game. So I've always enjoyed playing doubles as well, even when I was playing nationals in Missouri Valley. So it was good.
And Carolina, coming in from Brazil, what attracted you to the Northwest Missouri State program?
The level of tennis, is it good?
Yeah, move it right there. There you go.
The level of tennis, the coach that really cares about everyone, he really wants me here. So that's one thing that really, and I like the city, I like the level of tennis, the match, everything. So it's, that's why I'm here.
Well, good deal. We're glad to see you here. And Mark, just talk a little bit about Carolina and what she's brought to the program.
Well, I think both of them are exceptional individuals, but I really think their best tennis is ahead of them. Now, we're just getting going. You know, all these teams in the South, and we had some losses early in the year, but they're playing matches February 1st. Up here in Maryville, we're too far north. We just can't do it. But we'll catch up, and we always do, and we play all the matches and so forth by the time we get to the conference at the end of April, hopefully postseason like we normally do into May, you know. I think these two are going to have, a ton of wins for the team, and I think you're going to see both their level go up just with more and more competition in singles and doubles both.
And, again, Caroline, just talk about the competition you've seen so far this season and what's impressed you about the teams that you played at this point.
We play against some teams that were really good. Like, the level 10 was really high and was super tough because sometimes it was like 3-3 and doubles match or singles match. One of them I was playing, so it was really tough. But I'm really enjoying because that's the level of tennis that I want to play when I wanted to come here. So we're playing against a lot of universities, and some of them are really good ranked or they play really good. So, yeah, I'm really excited about the rest of the season.
Yeah, it looks like you've got some big matches coming up.
Yeah, we have one tomorrow that's super, super tough, but I hope we get the win. And
now, not to put any pressure on you, but Northwest traditionally on the women's side has had a lot of success against Missouri Western.
Yeah, I know. Coach told us.
So what's he tell you about this matchup tomorrow?
I really hope that I can play my best tennis tomorrow so we can win the doubles point and I can win my singles so we can still continue with the tradition of the matches. But yeah, I'm really excited.
Hey, Mark, I know you through the years have had, again, a lot of success against Missouri Western, but their program that's kind of up on the rise right now, too.
The truth of the matter, John, is this team they have this year is the best team that they've ever had. They're good, and it's going to be a close match tomorrow. But, like I said, it's going to be really close. And, we're hearing a lot of chatter from down there playing at the club in St. Joe and so forth. And, this is their year and they're going to ring the bell. And I just told the group in there, they haven't rung a bell on us in 40 years. So we'll see.
Now, is tomorrow's match going to be indoors or outdoors? Or is it
we're going to decide that tomorrow morning. But looking at the forecast, I could very well see it indoors.
All right. And, again, Mason, when you look at the rest of this season, what do you see as some of the keys for you individually as well as a team for on the men's side?
Just keep on the track, keep on the plan that we've put forth. And we're, like Coach said, we're just getting better every day, and everything's going well. We're just getting better. We're gonna keep working hard, and I'm extremely excited. I know all the other guys on the team and girls are extremely excited for the rest of the season.
Now, Mark, you look at your schedule. You talked about you had a lot of matches in a short period of time this past week, beginning on Thursday. But, you got Missouri Western on the women's side tomorrow, and then back down to Wichita for some matches this weekend, and then over to St. Louis. I think you misscheduled a little bit. Should have waited another week to schedule matches over St. Louis when the Cardinals opened up next weekend.
That's for sure, yeah. After the Western match, we go down to Wichita. We're actually going to play Southeast Oklahoma, which is a big regional match. And on the guys, it's a conference match now, too. And they're very good on both teams. Their women's team is ranked pretty high, and the men should be ranked. They just beat Drury on the men, you know. So that's a halfway point for us. We're going to play down there in a club, Fisher Club or whatever down there. And then we'll go to Columbia that night. And then the next day we're going to play Missouri St. Louis Saturday out by the airport in St. Louis. And then the guys will play Wash U on Sunday, which is a Division III school that competes for the national championship every year. So that's always a good match for us, too.
Yeah, you'd say Division III, but they're very good, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
All right, well, thanks a lot for being with us here on the show today.
It's great to have you, John.
You bet. That is the head tennis coach for Northwest Missouri State, Mark Roswell, and a couple players off his team, Mason and Caroline, are with us. We'll be back. We'll have more for you coming up right after this timeout from Pizza Ranch.
Support comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, celebrating more than 150 years of service to Northwest Missouri. More information is available on location or online at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitsenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitsenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or facebook.com/pittsbodyshop.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell on South Main in Maryville, celebrating 30 years of service. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell offers a wide selection of features, including unlimited plans. For more details on plans and devices, nwmcell.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Eckerd's Home Improvement in Stanbury, serving the community for more than 50 years. Eckerd's can assist in kitchen and bathroom remodels and offers tile, hardwood, or carpet options. The design centers open Monday through Saturday and online at eckerdsflooring.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Back on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KLRNW, broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch. Now talking with Northwest Missouri State Athletic Director and also the head golf coach, Andy Peterson. Andy, how are things? Been busy for you lately.
What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
Honestly, and of course, we're coming off of men's basketball national championship. You had a lot going on there. National committee, also being the AD of Northwest, but then also golf going on. But you've kind of been in a full sprint since probably like August 31st, right?
Sure, yeah. It's one and the same. It's out fall season to winter season, and now we're, you know, obviously head first into spring sports with baseball playing again at home today. Played yesterday, had a 15-inning game yesterday that was out for a while. So, and tennis plays tomorrow. Golf's on the road this weekend. Track and field's on the road this weekend. Softball, baseball, conference, obviously. So, yeah, no, there's no necessarily time off from the administrator hat point of view. But, no, it's been great. Obviously, last week is what is kind of the reason that you're in this profession, you know, is to cut down nets and hoist a trophy at the end of the year. Obviously, we're extremely spoiled to be able to do that three out of the last 4 years with men's basketball. But, you know, it's and you're gone for a week. So, you know, I was kidding with my wife, Emily, about, you know, I've got 400 and some emails I got to click through here in the next few days to try to get caught up. And you honestly can't even feel like you can get caught up because, like I said, got home yesterday and baseball goes to a 15-inning game where I kind of thought, hey, we'll be done at, you know, 3:30, 4 o'clock and get some stuff done before I go home. And I think the last out was at 5:05. So texted Emily, said, hey, I'll be home as soon as I can. Baseball just finished up. But it's very good. Obviously, our student-athletes are phenomenal. I'm in my role because I value each and every one of them and each and every one of those programs and want them all to do well. So we will continue to support and do what we can as we transition from some winter celebrations into hopefully some spring celebrations.
As you put your head golf coaching hat on, which you've already done this spring, but this is a team that finished strong in the fall, took fourth at Warrensburg out of 18 teams to kind of wrap up that portion. And then just kind of jumped right into the spring and have had some good finishes already. Now getting set to go to Newman coming up next week. It feels like this is a golf team that's really pushing the right direction.
We're really close. Obviously, we're a really experienced group. Morgan Teal, senior, is going to go down as probably the most experienced women's golfer ever in Northwest Missouri State history with the number of rounds that she's played. Anna Zek, fifth-year senior. Maddie Akers, fifth-year senior. And then, obviously, the girls that are younger have seen a lot of golf, right? So very experienced squad. Yeah, I think we're primed to do some good things this spring, obviously. This weekend's a big weekend for us, number one, because of what teams are there and us trying to make a push for the first ever regional that women's golf has ever qualified for in Northwest Missouri State. We got some work to do, obviously, but this is a big weekend for that. Also, the course that we're playing, Sand Creek Station in Newton, is where conference will be at the end of this month. So big for us to perform well this weekend, number one, but also in the back of your head, filing some stuff away for, when we get to conference conference meet here at the end of the month, we're comfortable with Sand Creek and ready to go.
Yeah, that'll be huge to have that base layer as you do get ready for the MIAA championships a little bit later on in April. And as you look at it, you mentioned Morgan, and she came out in, the first tournament of the spring, finished second individually. That was the SMSU spring invite in Arizona. You bounced back a couple weeks later, the Midwest invite down in Bolivar, and it was Ellie Spies as the top individual for the Bearcats there. And she's one that, we've seen her card a couple aces already through her career, but trying to find that consistency. You mentioned the other players with so much experience. It does feel like a team that, anybody can be the top individual, but it can also make a really good stride as the tournament goes on.
Exactly. And it's one of the reasons why I say we're close is that the team is very close in terms of score, stroke average, all that stuff. Like you said, we don't know who's going to throw out the low score of the day. The grain of salt that comes with that is we don't know who's going to throw out the high score of the day and which score we're going to have to drop. So, but it's good because it keeps them all competitive. It keeps them all pushing each other in practice and in qualifying rounds. They know that if they don't perform really well, 6, 7, and 8 can all score and be in the top four pretty easy as well. So it's a competitive thing. It's a competitive nature thing of, if you have a couple of bad holes on a course, you can't just cash it in because our level is all, pretty similar. And so knowing that, hey, even if your teammates are doing well, if they have one or two bad holes, all of a sudden you're score is going to be right there for us as well. So just got to keep battling and playing and scratching for every stroke that we can while we're out on the course, and hopefully we can continue to chop away at our team stroke average, right, and continue to push and beat some teams so that at the end of the year the regional committee is considering us in that 10, 11, 12 spot to make a regional.
Northwest Missouri State Golf in the Newman Invitational in Newton, Kansas, coming up next week on April 4th and April 5th. Andy, thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you. See you soon.
See you soon. That's Andy Peterson, Northwest Athletic Director, also head golf coach, joining us here on KXCV KLRNW. We'll take a break. Back with more on the Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcats comes from the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park provides residents and visitors with an 18-hole golf course, the Watson 9 Junior Course, and indoor golf simulators. More on Mazingo's golf offerings at mazingolake.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Planet Sub on 4th Street next to Student Body. Planet Sub opens at 10:30 every morning and offers a variety of oven-baked subs, cookies, and soups, and is also available for catering. More information at facebook.com/PlanetSubMaryville.
Support for the Bearcats on radio comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville at 125 East South Avenue. Rogers provides patients and their families with medical supplies, including oxygen, CPAP, scooters, and home medical equipment. More online at RogersRx.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Shows. We wrap things up here in a little bit. We'll be talking a little bit of basketball here. Still with us is Athletic Director at Northwest Missouri State, Andy Peterson. And Andy, just a fantastic week last week in Evansville, Indiana. The Bearcat men's basketball team went up against, I thought, a very good field of teams this year, and really came away and played well against, obviously, with the, coming away with the national championship. But really felt like this was a tougher field they had to play against this year than perhaps it was in there the last year, at least.
Yeah, I think some of it is that. I think the field's a little bit tougher. I think, honestly, and Coach Mack alluded to it a lot, this was a tough year for us. You know, we had to coach through some bumps and some bruises and a hole in your roster, so to say, with Ryan Hawkins, just trying to find your own story. So it was a new story, and I do think that teams around the country have up their game a little bit and kind of understood, and they've obviously see us a little bit better and know how to play against us and that sort of thing. So it's a little bit different, but yeah, so obviously in the grand scheme of things, when you cut down the nets at the end, it's makes it a lot better. Hi, hey. Coach McCollum.
Hello, nice haircut. You've got a face made for radio, Coach Peterson.
I've told a lot of people that over the last few weeks. Yep. Nobody believes me.
I've been told that for about 30, 40 years or
there
so.
There you go. That's why you're still on it.
That's right. I haven't made the transition to TV. But, Ben, congratulations. Another heck of a season for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been a fun run. Obviously, tough kids. And they battled through a lot and were able to pull away and win it.
I know each season is a little bit different when you look at this particular group that you had. Just talk about what makes this group special for you.
I mean, every group's special. I think this one specifically, I will probably look back and, you know, their grit, their toughness, the chip on their shoulder, I'll look back at that and realize that made them, you know, that special. I mean, obviously, coming off of a COVID season and even having some COVID stuff this year, and just the trials and tribulations to try to get back to reality this year, and then obviously to get back to the national championship game was pretty special.
Have you had a chance to sit back, now it's been a couple of days, and just to think about what's been accomplished, not only this year, but three straight national titles, four total, and just kind of think about what this program has been able to accomplish here in the past decade when you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, you do a little bit. I think one of my buddies said, you get championship fatigue, you know, where it's like you win so many, it's expected. And you get a little bit of that, but I think eventually we'll look back and realize how incredibly neat it was to be able to do those things and accomplish those things. You know, I haven't had a lot of time. We had baseball last night, and then had a sick kid last night from it'd be 8 to about 3 a.m. this morning. So then this morning, I'm doing some recruiting and stuff like that, and I got to get a haircut still and concerned that my hair won't grow back. I mean, a lot of serious things.
Yeah,
that's
kind of serious right there, and Andy kind of beat you to the punch on the haircut.
Yeah, no, he got a haircut. His is still growing back. Mine might not. So there's some concerns there. So a lot of my buddies made sure to tell me that on TV, so that's great. Thanks.
Well, it's nice that they were watching. So.
Well, I got hair made for radio too, apparently.
Yeah.
So is what it is.
Yeah, I get you there. Well, you look at that backcourt duo of Diego and Trevor, and again, that's something that's just special, what they've been able to accomplish in their time together.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's the best in Division II history. And you can say that with a straight face, and there's no debate. I mean, they're undefeated in postseason, might have won four national championships, won three in a row. Statistically, they're fantastic. There's never been a better Division II backcourt in the history of Division II, and I'm not sure that there ever will be.
The thing that when you look at them too, it seems like their particular skill sets really play well off of each other.
The perfect match of both are extremely competitive, both are great human beings, but one is a little bit more violent on the floor, that kind of athlete, and then the other is more just kind of calm, steady, that type. And so it's the perfect mix, and you know, their ability to be unselfish towards each other and want for each other's success probably makes it that much more special.
Oh, I don't think that's the big key, too. A lot of egos could get in the way with only one basketball out there, but it seems like those guys want each other to be more successful than they are.
Absolutely. They both do. And they're both really humble. You know, I mean, they understand that they're there to serve. And, you know, you want for people's success that act like that, you know, that are just like, you know, I don't, just because they win a few games and they do this and that. This doesn't make them better human beings. It doesn't change what they're supposed to do for the world. You know, it actually gives them a greater responsibility, to be quite honest, to serve more. And they've taken that on and been great.
You look at the championship game, and, of course, a lot of talk about their 7-1 player inside and the work that needed to be done with your inside guys. And just talk about Wes Dreamer and talk about Mascari and Alexander and Abreu stepping up and playing big on Saturday.
Yeah, all of them played great. I think a special story is Mitch obviously not playing a ton, and even Daniel not playing at all for quite a few games. And then in the national title game, the most important game, he plays a great role. And you know, it says a lot again about probably our leadership in regards to Trevor and Diego and their ability to serve those guys and keep them right on the same path, even though they're probably not getting everything that they want out of the program in regards to playing time and stuff like that. So, you know, it's you know, tough kids. I'd love to say that it was coaching or this, that, or the other. It's really just getting really, really good people and putting them in position to be successful.
And I thought really the job that Wes Dreamer has done really in the last month, or, well, all season you think about it, but just the last month or so where it seemed like a steady stream of some pretty good post players at the end of the conference season, the tournament, the regional, where he had to go in and be very physical against a lot of guys he was giving up some weight inside on.
Yeah, he's always been a good post defender. Even when Ryan was here, he was our best post defender. And, you know, he's been great at that. I think the thing that was neat was, you know, last year when Ryan left, Wes just, he really stepped up from an emotional perspective and from a leadership perspective and wanted that tough role, you know, and because it's tough, because I'm on him all the time. And he wanted that and embraced it. And had a chip on his shoulder all year to do that. And, you know, obviously, yeah, going back to he finally made what is called our 20 and 20. And I remember him just about to pass out through it. And, you know, he passed out at the end. And it was like, boy, he's grown up. And he's done that all year. And obviously, you saw the result of that throughout the season.
Andy Peterson with us as well. And, Andy, you had an opportunity to be a player in this Bearcat program, a coach with Ben, athletic director now. What do you see out of this Bearcat program that really stands out to you?
Just the consistency, you know, and the continuity that Mac's been able to build on. You know, Tap always did that. We always had 4- and 5-year guys, and we'd sprinkle in a couple of transfers. But, I mean, you can count on one hand the number of transfers we've had in the last 6-7 years. And it's nothing against transfer kids. You know, they've got their place and their roles. But it's the continuity piece, like Mac's talking about, with guys like, you know, Mitch Mascari, that, you know, he's stuck it out and he's hanging out. We've had that, you know, the last however many years. You know, when you talk about 2017, that's a completely different roster than now. And so to do what they've been able to do with entirely, you know, new group, roster, students, families, all that stuff, support systems. It's a continuity piece and it's a toughness piece. So if you're going to come in, you got to earn your spot. And once you earn your spot, you've got to continue to earn your spot, because there's good players, there's good athletes, there's good coaches coming in that are trying to help and build and push it forward. You know, and it's really just it's kind of like compound interest. You know, Tap started doing that in 88-89, and then, you know, 25 years later, that compound interest is just it's paying huge dividends, because Mac has kind of continued the recipe and continued to invest in that recipe. And it's been pretty wild the last 4 years.
And one thing you talked about, family, too. That's one of the things that seems like it's been consistent with the players you bring into the program, Ben, is just the family support that they get and how they buy into the program as well.
Oh yeah, we've got great parents and parents that allow me to coach them. In my years, I've never gotten complaint from a parent, and most coaches can't say that. They don't talk to me about basketball; they just talk to me about whatever's going on in their kids' lives. And you know, you just don't get that. So I'm allowed to coach them hard. I'm allowed to, you know, one game they may play a lot, one game they may not play, and it makes my job easy. And obviously, it keeps kids around because of that family atmosphere with the different families.
Now, before we let you go, let's just talk a bit about the national championship game in particular and the game scouting leading into that. What were some things you saw when you were watching tape that you felt you could attack on Saturday's game?
you know, we felt like the big would sit back in ball screen coverage. And so we wanted to make sure that we exposed that, put him in a ball screen, a lot of ball screens. We thought defensively, you know, if you limited some of their guards that, you know, because you weren't going to stop their big guy. Their big guy was good. And we knew that he'd probably score 50 and win, or, you know, hopefully he'd score 15 or 20 and we'd shut down their guards and we'd win. And, you know, fortunately it was the second part of that. And, you know, thought we did a good job. I thought our relentlessness affected them quite a bit, and then just our attitudes in general were fantastic.
And as you look at the entire Elite Eight going through each game, you held every opponent well under their average offensively game to game, and obviously defense plays a role, but also seemed like what you were doing offensively, taking advantage of every opportunity on the offensive side and keeping the ball out of their hands was a big key too.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that Trevor Hudgens helps with that. Our guys understanding their roles really helps with that. And so we're able to control the game with our offense. And then people don't realize we're really difficult to score on. And so if we keep you know, that secret to ourselves, you know, everybody focuses on our offense. It's like, hey, guys, you better figure out how to score. And you know, that's what we really pride ourselves on, is our defense.
And it seems like that's something that you see coming out of the Central region more than some of the other regions, teams that maybe pay a little more attention to defense than some of these other regions.
Yeah, I think I've always thought that the Central region is the best. I think it's proven it on the national stage in tournament settings. And that's really hard to do, is to prove it in a tournament setting all the time, every single year. What is it, 6 out of 7 for the Central region?
Yeah.
And really could have been 7 out of 7. I think Northern had a big lead, and that was the year Justin broke his foot. They lost to Ferris State. So, yeah, the dominance is absurd from our region. And yeah, it says a lot about the coaches, and they've really prepared us for those Elite Eights.
Well, this season is wrapping up now. But what's next for Ben in the program right now? What's the next steps for you here in the offseason?
Just get more players and find a way to continue to win.
I mean, that's
and a haircut, and go fishing.
There you go. All right. Well, thanks a lot for being with us here on the show.
Thanks a lot, John.
All right. That's the head coach of the Bearcat men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. Also, athletic director Andy Peterson with us as we wrap up our show here this afternoon on KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe. My thanks to all the coaches who showed up for the show here today, and Matt Trinn. I'm John Coffey, and that's it from Pizza Ranch for today.